The NBA restart is not a return to what was. It exists in this new world that we've all been thrust into, and with it, you know, comes new responsibilities. We've been through a lot as a country the last 4 months, and while I often think about a year from now, 5 years from now, 10 years from now, of course, the pandemic is the thing. It is the story, and COVID is the story. But I think when we remember 2020, a single moment, we're going to go back to George Floyd. To me, that is the long-standing historic part of 2020 is going to be this. Everyone's been affected in their own way. The league has taken initiatives. The players have taken their own individual initiatives. But the coaches have come together, and that's what we wanted to talk about here, and not in 30 seconds and not doing the regular smart-ass stuff we always do, but when we have real estate and real time to actually talk about it. So I want to go back to the beginning of this, and two men here in particular, Lloyd Pierce, the head coach of the Atlanta Hawks, who people know, and Brian Stevenson, Brad, who's probably a guy that people don't know.
Yeah, well, first of all, obviously the times have been tough, right? You know, as you mentioned, the pandemic, and then not only the murder of George Floyd, but the following the murder of Breonna Taylor, the murder of Ahmaud Arbery, and on down the line. So obviously there have been, just like you, just like everybody we know, I think people have been in more reflective, connecting, deep conversations about race and how we can all do our part to make the world a little bit better. And I think the thing that we've all tried to do is in our own ways do that, right? So you're having those conversations within your family, within your friend group, in communities, with kids, you know, for us in the locker room with our team, which is some of like the most emotional and real moments you can spend together as a team. And then, you know, whether it's with the Celtics organization and the plans that they have coming out, we have coming out that we've been working on that'll be announced here fairly shortly, or with the Coaches Association, there's so much to do and we all just need to be as involved as we can. So you went back to going back to your question and talking about a few days after George Floyd's murder, Rick Carlisle, the head of the Coaches Association, got us all on a Zoom call and started off with Lloyd Pierce really sharing how he was feeling. And it was powerful, as you can imagine. From that call, a committee was formed with Lloyd and Steve Kerr and Pop and David Fizdale and others that have really led the charge on how can we as a coaches association, how can we as a group of people that, you know, got into coaching really partly because we wanted to get into education, how could we do our part in this movement? And one of the things that Lloyd has done is he's connected us with so many people, but he's created basically an alliance with Brian Stevenson, who founded the Equal Justice Initiative, and the Obama Foundation. And so our real focus is on education, and what better person to highlight than Brian Stevenson and the work that he's done at the Equal Justice Initiative.
I've always been a fan of saying things out loud and having tough conversations. Max and I have been doing it for 20 years. We don't know any other way. And as you're listing some of the names, and you know, Eric Garner happens, and Trayvon Martin happens, and Alton Sterling happens, and Breonna Taylor, and we can all list the names, but the attention span, it seems, only lasts so long, and then other things happen, and people get distracted. And isn't really the question, the one I've been wrestling with for years, and especially now, is how do we make this a permanent part of the narrative?
Well, we all share a responsibility in that. And so what the Coaches Association, just from our perspective, has done is, in partnering with Brian, is using the Equal Justice Initiative's calendar to really tell our story, right? We were fortunate enough to have multiple speakers over the course of the hiatus to our team. And one of the most impactful and powerful to me was Henry Louis Gates, who teaches at Harvard, you know, as a award-winning filmmaker. And we watched part of his show or his documentary on Reconstruction. We watched just a 20-minute snippet of a two-hour documentary, and then he answered questions for us. And, you know, I learned more in that hour, I'm embarrassed to say, than I learned in, you know, my whole way through school, and certainly through, you know, the first 12 years of school. And I think that that's one of the things that Brian's been trying to get across. So, like, for instance, you know, today's message on the calendar talks about the backlash that Michelle Obama received after she said that the White House was helped build by slaves. And when you think about it, why, that's truth. So there should be no backlash. That should be accepted as fact and accepted as truth. And, you know, in 2016, probably felt like a great deal of progress considering who was speaking, right? And I don't feel that progress as much now. And so we all have a role to play in making sure we keep this conversation going. And so this platform that the NBA has in Orlando will be used in large part to do that. And from a coach's perspective, it will be to highlight days on the Equal Justice Initiative's calendar, like rehashing Michelle Obama's speech, to just like be in the business of truth telling. Because as Brian would say, and I've never met him personally, I've just heard him talk, and I've heard him talk a bunch. He's amazing. But as he would say, you have to reconcile, and you have to know, you have to understand before you can repair. And so our role in a lot of ways, or what we feel like we can do, a small part that we can do, is help us all to understand. And that, you know, I need to learn as much as everybody else. And so it's been something that we're all committed to.
And telling truths a lot of times that people don't want to hear. And it's amazing. You talked about being embarrassed. This will first air on the 26th, and you're seeing it whenever you're seeing it. But as Brad and I talk today, Representative John Lewis, a mythic figure who passed away last week, his body was taken across the Edmund Pettus Bridge in Selma, the site of Bloody Sunday 55 years ago, which, like a lot of key moments in the Civil Rights Act, in the Civil Rights Movement, I learned about it. I taught my son about it. And I always thought of myself as someone who was fairly well educated on things. And I have been appalled at myself and our education, how little I knew that Black Wall Street, the massacres in Tulsa. And again, that's why this calendar is perfect. And it makes it a perpetual part of the conversation, because you can walk around thinking you know things. And I think a lot of people who look like you and I look, even as well-intended as we are, as well-intentioned human beings as we are, there's so much we don't know. We can't even grasp it.
Obviously, John Lewis's passing, you know, was a big topic of conversation here. And, you know, to the NBA's credit, they actually, in our hotels, have created television channels that are showing things to help educate and to help us learn. And one of the things that in the last 3 days you've been able to turn on your TV and watch was John Lewis's documentary, Good Trouble. And it's, you know, like you said, I feel like I knew something. I'm guessing I'm learning a lot. But I think that, you know, a lot of people are. And it's important to keep the conversation going. And it's important to understand why we're where we are and what we can do to help. And, you know, one thing that was made clear in these coaches' calls, and I remember Dwayne Casey speaking up in particular, was white voices are important. And, you know, it's one of the things that I think, you know, is a responsibility, certainly if you're coaching the Boston Celtics or you're, you know, a father of two, and, you know, to make sure that you're doing all that you can to not only show your conviction with your action, but also be willing to speak up. So I appreciate the leadership of those around me, because it's, you know, it's certainly made me learn a lot more in a short amount of time. And hopefully I can help in any way I can.
Yeah, I think a lot of us, again, that look like you and I look, thought, and I think before May 25th, had sort of adopted this mindset that living rightly and treating everyone the same and having no prejudice and teaching your children, teaching my son, teaching your kids to live that way was enough. And it's clearly not.
I think one of the most interesting parts is, you know, my kids have grown up around basketball teams their whole life. You know, they have friends of every walk of life and deep connected friendships with, you know, certainly people of many different races. And, you know, one of the things that I think we were all kind of taught to think is like, it's great to be colorblind. And one of the things that I think people are sharing more and more is you can't be that way. You have to understand more about what people go through because of the color of their skin, the stressors that they live. You know, you talked about the pandemic. And I think a lot about this. I think about the stressors that everyone has felt because the pandemic, you know, strangers will walk by and not look at each other and put masks on, and, you know, frustration with our federal government and the leadership that's been shown. And you just feel like even these ideas or this talk about kids going back to school without an answer scientifically on how we're going to make sure that people are healthy. Like, there's a stress and an uncertainty and like this unsettling feeling. And when you talk to our Black players or my Black colleagues and friends, they've been living with a stress and uncertainty for a long time and beyond these 4 months. And this has just exacerbated that. And I think that is real. It's come to light in greater detail. And so for us to, you know, in an ideal world, we all walk out our door and we all feel the same way about going out to run an errand, going for a jog, whatever the case may be. That shouldn't be a stressful thing.
How proud were you to see Jalen, to see Marcus, to see other men in that locker room who we already knew were leaders in their context become the leaders we know in some ways they already were in their community over these last couple of weeks and couple of months?
You know, I just think the first thing that comes to mind is not surprised at all. Like those guys are passionate. They're about what's right. I think they've got great substance, great conviction. And so I would say that that's who those guys are. And I think that's why, you know, they show that in their, how they kind of go about themselves every day. They play with the same spirit that they have spoken up with. And I think that's, you know, people have been drawn to those guys for a long time.
Do you feel an increased sense of responsibility, not just for yourself in that locker room, but since everybody has come back in that bubble where you are now, that there's, given everything we have been discussing, that there's sort of a different feeling, that there's more responsibility that comes with the exposure and the platform that we all have?
Yeah, I think the thing that maybe stands out more than anything is we're all trying to wrap our arms around the magnitude of the things that need to be changed and need to be worked on. And we know that there is a long-term initiatives have to be established to get there. There are things that we can all do to help make change more immediate and make sure that we are doing everything we can to, you know, eliminate systemic racism and make sure that we are, you know, promoting equality in every single interaction that we have and everything that we do and helping the educational process we talked about earlier. But I also think that one of the things, as we've gotten back to the bubble, I've been reminded about the power of sports and the power of being in a room with people from different countries, people of different races that, you know, are different religions and all bound by a common goal, right? And how, you know, sports has been a great catalyst for change in the past. And sports is something where people can turn on the TV and see all of those people all striving together and working together and laughing together and crying together and coming up short together and whatever the case may be. So we've taken great joy in being around each other. That's one of the things that I've really felt in the last couple of weeks. You know, even when we played like we did last night, like, you know, or two nights ago against OKC, like, we're enjoying being around each other. We're enjoying this journey. I think basketball being taken away for 4 months, and then on top of that, all of our focus on the social justice initiatives has really made it so that this means more maybe to all of us, even than it did before.
I think we're all proudest to have given our life, as we all have, two sports when it leads society rather than follows it. Jackie Robinson came 17 years before the Civil Rights Act, and maybe the NBA playing its part now is going to be something, you know, years from now, decades now, we can all look back on and, you know, be even prouder of the jobs we have.
And I think it's several leagues, right? And I think it's people outside of sport. I think there's no question there is significant momentum. Right. There's no question. You know, pull up whatever news site you read and you're reading about continuous protests. You're reading about people standing up for what is right. You're reading about, you know, all the different sports that are doing all their different things, the different people all speaking up. I just think we're headed in the right direction, but we all are responsible for continuing the conversation, and we all are responsible for doing the action, you know, as a part of that.
How do we go back to transition defense after doing this?
Yeah, no, hey, we've had many, we've actually had a few of those meetings as a team where, you know, we have a couple people share their own passions and perspectives or what they're putting on the back of their jersey or what they would put on the back of their jersey. And, you know, I've got a few film clips afterwards and I'm just, this is really insignificant in the big picture of life, isn't it? Trailing a down screen or garden a ball screen or whatever the case may be. But the connectivity we're getting from being together has been great, I hope that we can all do our small part to help. And, you know, from the coaches' initiatives, we'll keep messaging, you know, the Equal Justice Initiative calendars, and we'll have some PSAs that'll be put out and all those things. But we'll all be responsible within the Celtics organization too. We've got some cool new things coming out here that we've spent a lot of time educating ourselves on so that we can, you know, even better allocate our resources towards this.
Well, maybe you and I will make a deal right now that from now on, anything that distracts us as we're not paying attention to what the other is saying, as we never do during our regular pregame conversations, we'll be doing something positive for society instead of paying attention to each other while we talk about transition defense.
Yeah, well, you and I have both said on several occasions, Sean, it's like you and I have a great conversation for 10 minutes before they start recording. And then it's like...
it's all the good stuff.
It's like, are we done now? And then all of a sudden, we've got to start talking again about basketball. Like, nobody wants to hear about the nuances of basketball. So we'll talk about more important stuff. Maybe we'll just start recording right from the get-go from now on.
Maybe. Now, that would be a heck of a podcast. One of the real beauties to me that's come out of everything is the death of stick to sports. That's all. That is gone forever. And that's a beautiful thing as far as I'm concerned.
No, I don't think nobody should stick to just what they do for a living. It's not just athletes, right? We all have a responsibility in this, and we all should be talking and listening, and we all should be learning. And so this is a bigger part of who we are than what we do.
Yes and no. I mean, I want Dr. Fauci curing disease, not throwing out the first pitch, for example. I mean, there are certain boundaries you shouldn't necessarily go past during a time of crisis. But, yeah, I'm with you on that.
I saw that pitch. But I'll do anything he says with regard to wearing a mask, and, you know, everything he tells me, I believe.
Coach, hopefully this is the first of many conversations just like this.
Yeah. Thanks, Sean.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.